Chances are, if you've read a tabloid newspaper or popular magazine in the past 40 years, you've seen more than a few photographs by Ron Galella, who was dubbed the godfather of U.S. paparazzi culture by Time magazine. He is the subject of a new documentary called Smash His Camera, which tells the story of his unusual, remarkable, and very controversial career, following around and sometimes developing relationships with subjects like Jackie Onassis, Michael Jackson, and every celebrity in between. The film is directed by Leanne Gast and won the Director's Award at this year's Sundance Film Festival. I'm very pleased to welcome Ron Galella and Leanne Gast to our show today. Hello.
Hi, Leonard.
Thank you.
And Leanne, the last time you were here was to talk about When We Were Kings, your film about Muhammad Ali that went on to win an Academy Award. Does anything tie these two films together?
Absolutely. When I first heard about this project and met Ron, I realized that there were similarities in both Ron and Muhammad's character.
Now, you say you heard about this project. You were brought in on a project that somebody else was putting together?
Yes. Linda Sapphire, a producer that I'd worked with before, and had worked with Adam Schlesinger, and one of them worked with Gene Demanian, and one of them worked on the Woody film, and Adam Schlesinger had a contract with Ron Galella to do the true story of Ron Galella. I met them. They asked me if I would like to meet Ron. We went out to Jersey. I met Ron, and I said, I would love to do this film.
Well, both of them are controversial figures, although I think Ron may ultimately be the more controversial one. Ron, the contrast between today's celebrity culture compared to what things were like in the 1960s when you began is discussed in this film. What was it like to be the only one for a while to be following around a celebrity?
Well, it was great because a photojournalist like me, you have to have freedom to get great pictures. And it was basically one-to-one with these celebrities. And it was great because you have the freedom to shoot as you want to. And nowadays, it's impossible to get exclusives like that.
Well, everybody has a cell phone.
Yes.
And anybody can be a paparazzo. Right. But the paparazzi had already been depicted in a negative light by Fellini in La Dolce Vita by the time you came along, hadn't you?
Yes, that's right. He coined this word paparazzo, Fellini did, where he had a student in his class in Rimini who was always fidgety like a bug. And they nicknamed him Paparazzo, so he used that for the film, the mm-hmm. photographer in the film.
And at the time, it was used in a pejorative way.
Yes.
Did you take it as an insult when people started calling you a paparazzo?
Well, in a way, yes, because I'm more than a paparazzo. Even Sophia Loren once said to me, "You're not a paparazzo." What she meant is that the paparazzi in Europe especially are more aggressive, and they pursue stars and sometimes create incidents to sell the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't provoke. I don't do that.
You actually got started taking pictures of celebrity when you were in the Air Force?
Yes. I was in the Air Force. That's where I got my start, in the United States Air Force. I was an art student before that. I was a ceramic artist. And the closest thing to art was photography that they offered in the Air Force. And I went to photo school, and I became a photographer in the Air Force. And after the Air Force, I was discharged in 1955. I went to one of the best schools, the Art Center College of Design in Los Angeles, where I majored in photojournalism. I got a degree in that. And then I went to New York and started freelancing in 1958. And I worked at Time Life in the lab, and I became a good printer. And then I discovered Jackie in 1967. I got two takes of her that year. And after that, it was, as they say in the film, was a marathon. But I didn't get her as much as people think from the documentary. I only got her 20 times in 1970. That was the greatest year that I photographed her.
Well, you, Leon, you tell a story of in the film about Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton and How Their Affair was one of the first times when movie star gossip captured the world's attention. How did Ron get his chance to photograph them?
I think that it was not the first time, but the movie Cleopatra became extremely popular. There were a lot of people make the case that that brought on the whole worship of the cult of celebrity worship.
Well, people had been following movie stars for a long time, but it is true that suddenly now we wanted to know every detail about the personal lives of this couple. And there had been the Eddie Fisher thing with Elizabeth Taylor before that, a number of scandals.
Yeah, and it had been the cover of Life magazine, Time magazine, all of the fan magazines, of course. But it was a worldwide front page story.
It was the biggest scandal of all time.
Well, you locked yourself in a storage room in a warehouse overnight on the edge of the Thames so you could peer into Liz Taylor's yacht
the
next morning and get great shots of them. Right. Some people would call that a clear case of invasion of privacy. How do you justify a tactic like that?
Well, I was admitted into the warehouse. I paid the watchman $12, and it's not on their property. See, I do not go on people's houses, and I don't go on the boat, on the Kalisma, the yacht. And that was the only viewpoint from this fifth-floor warehouse that I got pictures of them. And it's only outside the yacht. She put up curtains for privacy, and it became a landmark, this Kalisma, where they had their dogs, four dogs, and it was quarantined, the dogs. That's why they had to stay on the boat. And they visited the dogs at the weekends only, and that was the only time that you could get pictures of them from the warehouse on a weekend. And they were visible. I think it's fair game if stars are visible in their backyard or front yard from a public area.
Well, sometimes those pictures have been of people doing nude sunbathing.
And, yes, like Jennifer Anderson. Yeah. She sued and won. Well, because she was half nude, that's the reason.
So is there a big difference in your mind whether somebody is wearing a bikini top?
I think
or
so,
not?
Yes. That's why she sued. I think if she was fully clothed, I don't think she would have sued.
Now, what about Jackie Onassis? Why was she such a great subject?
Well, she had physical beauty, big eyes, and wide. And one of the greatest things of beauty on a woman's face, especially, is big eyes and heavy lips would be second. A lot of stars fall into that category, Elizabeth Taylor, et cetera. So, but she was very elusive and mysterious and very mobile. And I was good at taking pictures of stars in capturing their movement. And she was an ideal subject because she didn't stop and pose, and she was very saleable. There was a big market for her. And she was graceful, and I admired her. I had respected her.
But she didn't appreciate you.
Well, I think she did. I think she loved it, really, because the reason this whole lawsuit came about is because I got photographs of her and John Jr. on a bicycle in Central Park, and she demanded the film from me with her agents, and I didn't surrender it. And that's where she arrested me, false arrest, for harassment, but that was dismissed. And
you sued her and she countersued?
Yes. I sued her and she countersued. But you see, the reason that she arrested me is because I got pictures of John Jr. on a bike, and she is very defensive. She wants her children to be normal without a lot of publicity. So that was the real reason. But she herself loves publicity.
Were you paying people to tip you off as to her whereabouts and the whereabouts of other celebrities you're looking for?
Well, there wasn't that much tipping off. There was no cell phones in those days. In other words, you have to be there. When I was there at the 20, 40, 50th Avenue where she lived, The neighbor, the doorman next door, tipped me off. He said, "Oh, they're on bikes in Central Park." So I give him $10 to $15. Or they're on tennis court. They saw them, and he gives me that tip. That's how I find out. But you have to be there, and you have to ask. You don't get telephone calls. You don't get very much tips. Very few I got.
Ron's lawyers argued that Jackie was smiling in a lot of those photographs, so she couldn't have been all that upset. But the final upshot was that he had to stay 50 yards from her.
At first, 50 yards, then it was reduced.
A telephoto lens closes up that 50 yards very quickly, doesn't
it? Well, 50 yards is too far. I appealed on that case, and it was the three judges on the appellate reduced it to 25 feet. And 25 feet is not so bad, but I broke that, and I was brought to court again the second time, 1982, for breaking it four times. But I brought about 50 pictures, and I showed that I broke it many more times. I pleaded guilty. The fact I was showing them is that she didn't mind. She was smiling into my camera when I was shooting at 6 feet and all that. I think it was Maurice Templeman, her date, that brought her to the court, to the police station that night, and that's the reason the second trial began.
My guests are Ron Galella, who's the subject of Leon Gast's new film called Smash His Camera, which opens today at the Cinema Village. The whole matter of aesthetics comes up in this film, Leon. Chuck Close says at one point, "Photography is the easiest medium in which to be competent, but it's the hardest medium in which to express some kind of personal vision." And and Tom Hoving also talks about that. And there's discussion as to whether these pictures would have any kind of aesthetic value beyond the fact that we recognize the faces in them. And once we stop recognizing those celebrities, do they really have much value at all?
Well, I believe that Ron is a photojournalist, and a lot of people would argue that point. I had an opportunity to look at thousands and thousands of his photographs. He took somewhere between 3 million and 3.5 million photographs.
That's a lot of contact sheets you were looking at.
And yeah. if you look at his contact sheets, and you know, 36 shots usually, and he was shooting film. So Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, he shot, I think, 800 or 1,080 pictures. That's a lot of rolls of films at 36 exposures. I did look at his contact sheets, and you can see when looking at his contact sheets that he understood vertical and horizontal lines and that he's a photographer. And they weren't just snapshots.
But you say that you didn't look at the camera usually, did you?
Well, I don't look through the viewfinder because
isn't that what the SLR is all about?
No, because you see, I pre-focused the lens. You only could do this with a wide-angle lens, like a 35 or a 28. You look at the subject because you want to have eye contact. You want to see the expressions. And really a portraiture is an eye-to-eye meeting somebody. Not a celebrity looking in the camera is a machine. A machine is not a good thing to look at. You want person to person. You want to get a response of person to person. And that's what I look for. And I shoot fast to get the surprise expressions, to get the realistic. I want to show these celebrities realistically as themselves. And by doing things, they become themselves. Like, for instance, Philip Halsman, the studio photographer, who got more life covers than anybody, over 100. He had them jump at the end of his session because that jumping, they were themselves. They forgot the camera, and they become themselves. And that's what he did a book on the jump.
Now, probably your most famous picture is the one that you call your Mona Lisa, Jackie.
Yes.
Onassis,
yes.
And her hair,
yes.
Flying.
Yes.
Are there any other pictures that you think, wow, this was just a magical moment?
Yes, I got many. I got Robert Redford with sunglasses, very fashionable, that ran on the cover of my Photographs of Ron Colella book. And I got Steve McQueen in Jamaica off the set of Papillon, where I placed him. He gave me 10 minutes to get rid of me. I took the next plane out because I wanted him with Ally McGraw, who was a friend of mine. But he turned me down because they were still married, with Bob Evans, Ally McGraw. So he gave me 10 minutes to get rid of me, and I placed him next to no set and drinking a cup of coffee. That's a great iconic shot. And it sells in galleries throughout
the world. But that wasn't a stealth photograph.
Pardon?
That wasn't a stealth photograph. You actually had a session with him.
Yes, that's right.
Now, why was Marlon Brando so angry that he punched you in the mouth?
Well, that's a good question. I believe he was angry because, one, the taping didn't go good with the American Indians or with the Cavett Show, and he was probably frustrated. Second, he dated Jackie. And Dick Cavett told him I was had the trial with Jackie, 26-day court battle. So he was sympathetic to Jackie. And then the last reason, I believe, would be because I took about 10 shots before he called me over. And he called me over. They went to a restaurant, and he said, "What else do you want that you already have?" He thought I had enough pictures. And I looked at Cavett, because they had both dark sunglasses, and this was the evening in Chinatown. And I asked Cavett, "Well, how about a picture without the sunglasses?" And that's when Brando slugged me. That was his answer. Without a warning.
Do you still use film, or are you?
No, now I'm digital, uh-huh. Because to keep up with
you
the
can
speed.
Use a teeny camera now, can't you?
Yes, but I use a bulky one.
You still use Nikon. With yeah, various lenses.
So yes. People know that you're taking their picture.
Yes. I as I said before, I pre-focus the camera and I shoot very fast to get the off-guard picture. And I hide, just like the windblown Jackie. I hid in the cab to get that picture, in a taxi. And I rolled down the window in the back and I would shoot two shots. And luck played a part. The taxi driver blew his horn. He was interested in Jackie, too. And she turned, and that's how I got the picture of my Mona Lisa, because she didn't know it was me and my camera covering my face. But as soon as I got out of the taxi, she put on her sunglasses, she recognized me, and she turned around and said, "Are you pleased with yourself?" She was pissed. And I said, "Yes, thank you."
Leon, you opened the film with a quote from Andy Warhol. He said, "My idea of a good picture is one that's in focus and of a famous person doing something unfamous. That's why my favorite photographer is Ron Colella."
They had very much in common. Ron went out every night and hit the club scene, and Andy went out every night and hit the club scene. So they had a good relationship.
Did he use your pictures in an interview or—
Yes.
Did he ever silkscreen any of them?
Not silkscreen, but he did use some of my pictures. He envied me in a way because I was aggressive paparazzo, and I got these pictures where he was very shy and withdrawn, and he was not aggressive. So that's why he admired my work.
Well, I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us. The film Smashes Camera tells the story of Ron Colella. It's done by Leon Gast, who— – how many films have you done so far, Leon?
Oh, 10 or 12.
Uh-huh. And you have a new one in the works?
I think so.
And I don't know whether you're chasing after Britney Spears and the like.
No. I more or less retired from shooting. I have the gold in my files. I do books now. I am doing another book, Boxing with the Stars, which will come out this fall.
Well, thank you both so much for being with us today, Ron Colella and Leon Gast. The film Smash His Camera, which opens today at the, what did I say?
Cinema Village.
Cinema Village. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lynn.